all wonder such things. Next week, we're going to ask the question, why didn't God answer my prayer? You know, do you ever ask that? Why didn't God answer my prayer? And then on the 12th of May, we're going to deal with the most perplexing issue of all, I think. And that is simply, why would God love someone like me? Do you ever wonder about that? If you don't, you're in denial, I think. Because, you know, but today is why don't I always feel your presence, God? Why don't I always feel God? Do you ever wonder, you know, I think the first time I began to feel God was probably when I was in high school, when I went to youth group, to a youth retreat, you know, and then at Christian concerts and those sorts of things. Can you remember the first time you really felt the presence of God in a real and powerful way? And then you wondered when you didn't, how come I don't feel this all the time? What's the great problem? What's wrong with me? Everybody else seems to be feeling the presence of God, but I don't. And I think we have a little video, which Chuck's going to turn the lights off for me. Do you think we should try it? And he's like, well, is there anybody here to push the button to make it go? Well, here goes nothing.
Wow, what an amazing sermon we just heard, church. Amen. We're going to stand this morning. We're going to sing loudly and proudly and focus in on these words and worship the lover of our souls. Let's sing together.
Oh my gosh. I love this song.
I don't know it.
Oh my gosh, you're going to love it.
Bring me to the altar. I lift my hands and bow my knees and take me to the cross. I pray my heart never be.
Ah, this makes me feel so amazing.
It's definitely pretty. It's pretty lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Bring me to the water. The
flowing rapids carry me. Salty ocean waves crash. Trickling into my heart sea.
Your grace is wonderful to me.
Drown me in your grace, God.
What does that mean?
I hope my grace is graceful. I
need to drown. What does that mean? To be drowned in grace?
To be drowned in grace? Don't think about it. Just sing.
For grace that gracefully graces me.
Just saying grace, it makes no sense. It's like saying five graces, but it doesn't mean.
No, it doesn't need to make sense. Grace. You just sing.
Picture of a penny.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're there.
Where? Oh. On a penny?
Mountains, rivers, oceans, sand.
Those are all
living on a road trip to the promised land.
What are the
trust receive my treasure, the better. Nebuchadnezzar.
That was my grandma's favorite lyric.
Holy Spirit, Jesus. King James Bible, evangelism. Be thou thine, thus their thoughts. Diadem and Ebenezer. I want to be grateful for the grace that gracefully graces me.
It throws me up every time because it's not supposed to be.
Gracefully graces me.
Bebop, bebop, tortellini, avocado,
bobby, do-do-dab.
Back to that, you said avocado in a worship song.
Let's sing, oh, to Jesus.
Oh, I would say it 1,000 times.
Let's put it all together, church.
Yes.
We sing.
Amen and amen. The Holy Spirit
yes.
is in this place, church.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's literally a picture of old McDonald.
I know, I love him.
I don't entirely know what that was about. On the other hand, I have often felt like the girl, you know, the one girl is all into it and she's sensing God's presence. I've felt like the one next to her saying, what is this about? Do you ever feel, how come she gets it and I don't get it? You ever feel it? I just don't quite know what's going on here. And we wonder, you know, why don't I feel God's presence? I think sometimes we wonder that, we wonder that about other people. I have known people who seem to love God so much. I remember when I was in high school meeting this guy who's just so filled with the Holy Spirit, seemed to love God so much, all he could do was talk about God, and he was a friend of my brother's, and I asked my brother about him maybe a year later, and how's he doing, is he still close to God, and he said, no, he went back to the drug world. And how can it be like that? How is it that you feel God's presence one moment and don't the next? And why don't I feel God's presence? Now, how many of you have ever felt the presence of God in your lifetime? Just raise your hands. How many have felt the presence of God this morning? Especially as you were singing the avocado song. Raise your hand. Now, if you didn't feel God's presence, then, you know, Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. And if you don't sense that God is with you right now, I just would say to you, he didn't say, I will be with 80% of you and not with 20% of you. Or I won't be with you if you have a bad hair day, you know. He didn't say that. But still, there are times it feels like God is far. Where am I at? God is far. So we wonder. I think there's several reasons why we don't feel the presence of God, and I just want to share a few. And the first one is maybe we are over sensationalizing what God's presence is about, you know. What it feels like. I was once invited to a church service, to a mega church that was having a revival experience. For over a year, they had services every night from 7 p.m. until midnight, 1, 2, whatever. It was a Pentecostal church. It was a spirited place, and a friend of mine asked me to go with him, another pastor, and so I went, and it seemed like people were so excited, it seemed like they had drank 3 cans of Red Bull before they arrived at the place, you know. Maybe you've been to that place, I don't know, but the pastor preached a fine message based on God's word. I mean, it was awesome, and at the end of it, he invited people to come up, and he invited especially, there's pastors here, any pastors, come on up, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you and fill you, and I thought, well, that sounds cool. So about 30 of us went up to the front, and the pastor prayed for the guy next to me, and he sort of just fell on the floor. And the one next to him, and he sort of fell on the floor. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to hit my head on this floor. and he got to me, and I didn't fall over. And I think he thought, well, maybe something was missing. And so he did it again, harder, you know. And I didn't fall over. Now, that is not to say that I didn't feel the presence of God, because actually I really did feel the Holy Spirit speaking as the word was preached in a pretty powerful way. And yet I thought something was missing. And then I said, well, maybe I'm over sensationalizing what was supposed to happen to me. Maybe as I sensed God's spirit, I thought to myself, I guess if God wants me to fall over, I will. That would be okay. Now that didn't happen. But maybe you are over sensationalizing what God's presence feels like. Jesus did a lot of teaching. He did a lot of teaching. And yet people were beginning to wonder about him. They would see miracles and they were wondering about him. And he said simply, the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent, to believe. And so they said, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do?" What will you do? There's a story in the New Testament about this guy who enters Abram's bosom, and that's they thought in those days, the Jewish faith thought that when you would die, you would enter this thing called Abram's bosom as you're preparing for heaven, I guess. And it was like there's a group of people here, and there's a group of people here, and there's a big gulf between them. You probably recognize the story from, it's from the Gospel of Luke. And there's a guy over here who loves God, and he's being taken care of, and then there are other people over here suffering, and the guy who loved God begs God, "Could I just go back and tell my brothers this thing is real so they would get serious about God?" And Jesus responds, "Even if he went back, they wouldn't believe. Even if he, I mean, if I could just prove it, you know, maybe you are over sensationalizing what God's presence feels like." I think about Mother Teresa sometimes. Any of you read any of her materials? You know, after she died, her diaries were printed. She would have been mortified, I think. Because it said in her diary, she only really felt really, really close to God about four times in her whole life. Isn't that amazing? And yet she served God tirelessly. And I know people who had met with her, and they powerfully felt God's presence around her, and yet she believed deeply, but isn't it interesting? She pressed on anyway. I got to tell you, if you're going to be in ministry, you will press on anyway. Because there's some days you just don't wake up feeling all that spiritual. Can you believe that? Maybe that happens in your life too. Maybe you are over-sensationalizing what God's presence feels like. Maybe, secondly, you are just distracted. But Martha, I love the story. Jesus is coming to town, and Mary sits at Martha's feet and just kind of takes it all in, and Mary's at Jesus' feet, and Martha is just off scurrying around getting everything done. Are you any scurriers here? I think most of us are scurriers, and distracted by the preparations, and here Jesus is right in front of her, and she's completely missing him. He's right there, and she can't see him. Sometimes we are so busy doing the work of the ministry that we fail to see the presence of God and experience the presence of God within what we are doing. Now, for me, the trap is kind of simple. I'm always worried about, not worried, I'm always preparing for tomorrow. What am I going to preach in June? What's the message series in July? What is it going to be in August? You know, I'm preparing ahead. Oh, we got Vacation Bible School. What's the theme of that? I find myself over there, or man, I wish I'd have done that differently, or back there. But the moment that is right here and now, I can miss the moment. Any of you with me? I can miss it. You know, and maybe I'm simply distracted, or maybe your heart has hardened. Jesus says in Matthew 13, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving, for the people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." All they see is darkness. Our hearts can become hard. Our hearts can become hard for a variety of reasons. Maybe we continue in the same sin and suddenly we don't feel convicted by it anymore, because I think God is saying, "Why would I convict you if you're not even going to bother?" You know? Maybe your heart has become hardened. Maybe you said a prayer. I don't know if you've ever known anyone like this. I said, God, I will follow you with my life. You just take care of my kids. And one of my kids was killed. And I've seen people say, just God, I'm not going to deal with God anymore. He didn't come through for me, and develop kind of a hard heart. Maybe you have built a wall of sin. Built a wall of sin. From Isaiah 59 comes these words. Listen, it says, the Lord is not too weak to save you, and he is not becoming deaf. He can still hear. He can hear you when you call, but there is a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Now, I want to be careful when I read that, because honestly, I have sinned in my life. If you ask my wife, I continue to, and she will tell you, I probably will still mess up in the future. Would you tell him that, honey? Silence. And that's the story of our life. I mean, we mess up, we get tripped up by the same old thing. How many times do I have to let impatience get in the way of the presence of God in the moments of my life? How many times do I have to lose it as I'm driving down the road because I'm mad about what somebody's done and that sort of thing? And did you ever do that? One day it was a Thanksgiving time, and my brother was too slowly passing a semi. And he's pulling a trailer, and he's taking it easy, and he's trying to be careful, and pretty soon there is a car behind him just going bananas. Just going bananas. And then she flies around him, and later that day, my brother says, I can't believe my very sister pulled around me that fast and flipped me off. And that's a true story. You know. Maybe you have built a wall of sin. I'm just going to be impatient. It is not pleasing. Why is it not pleasing to God? Because God isn't the center of my life when I'm letting that control me, you know. Maybe you have built a wall of sin. And how does sin separate us from God? It's kind of like being married, you know. If I sin against Carrie, will she still love me? Yes. Will she still be married to me? Well, she has for 35 years. So evidence would say, you know, if I would be an inconsiderate, ornery guy, will she still love me? Yes. Will she still be married to me? Yeah. If I would lie to her, would she still love me? Yes. I suspect if all of those things occurred, every time they would occur, if I looked lustfully at some female, you know, it would be like, I'm building a wall. Here's a little hunk of stone just between her and me. The lie, another stone, another wall, you know, inconsiderate, another. And pretty soon there's this wall between us. And if I would say then, how come I don't feel so close to my wife? Why don't I feel close to God? Maybe I have built a wall. Maybe I have built a wall. And I think that happens. And the thing is, God has so many promises to us about his presence. And sometimes I don't always feel God's presence. Maybe that's just a testing of my faith. It is a testing of my faith. God is not pleased by my feelings, but by my faith. So what if I say, God, I'm just going to follow you regardless of how I feel today? That was Mother Teresa's story. I'm going to follow you no matter how I feel today. You know, I love the story John Wesley tells about this preacher that wanted to be saved. He didn't think he was saved. He felt far from God. He didn't think he had received salvation. And Wesley taught him and taught him. He was a preacher. And finally, Wesley said, why don't you just keep preaching it until one day you might get it? And he did. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to myself, you know. I really do. Have an altar call. I'm the only one to come, you know. You will hear God. Here's the promise. When you seek him, you will find God when you seek him. You will seek me, it says in Jeremiah, and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You can't fool God. I will be found, declares the Lord. When you seek me, you're going to find me, but it's got to be with all your heart because you can't fool God. Have you ever had a time in your life where you struggled with something over and over and over again, and you laid it before God again and again and again and again, and it didn't seem to go away, and then one day, you gave it to God only for it to never return? Have you ever had that happen? That day, your heart was totally ready. You sought him with all of your heart. And the second presence promise, I'm trying to fill in the blanks as I go along, and I'm trying to remember what I had. You can do life with God's presence. Life with God's presence. And do you believe that your life can be surrounded by the presence of God? John 14. Ask, and I will ask the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. Never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him. But you do, because he lives in you now and later will be in you. The world doesn't recognize him. Do you know there's something going on all around us that you are not aware of right now? There's a lot of things going on around us you're not aware of. Now, anybody know what this is? Not a home box. A radio. I didn't think anyone under 20 would know what a radio was. And see, there's all these radio waves going on, and as I pull the antenna up, I'm more likely to hear the message being shouted at me. It might be a gospel message. It might be something really vile and disgusting like country and western music. So okay, country western music is good. I know. Wanda, there's only two kinds of music. Did you know that? Two kinds of music, country and western. Anyway, I shouldn't pick on that. But what if God's speaking all around us and we just need to put our antenna up? You know, we need the peace of God is your antenna up. We need the strength of God is your antenna up. I always pray the same thing when someone's going through a tragedy. I always pray that they will see God's grace in especially powerful ways right in the middle of where they're at, right then and there, that their antenna will be up, really, in a sense. You know, you are struggling with something. The struggle is real, but you can do life with him, you know. You can do life with God's presence. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, there's before Easter and there's after Easter. There's before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world, and there is after. And when you look at after, Jesus said, not only will I be with you always, I will be in you. I will live in you. I will live in your heart. I will send my spirit. I will send my spirit. I love what it says in the 118th Psalm. It says, send forth your spirit. You shall renew the face of the earth. I will send forth my spirit. I will fill you. And I will be with you always. We live in the after. We have absolutely everything we need in God to have everything we could possibly ever dream. We have it. All we need to do is receive it. You can live with God's presence. You can live with God's presence. Now, I think there's a lot of people who don't. And I think that we're distracted a lot of times. I'm distracted. How about you? I'm distracted. Oh, honey, what are we going to have for lunch? Oh, that was a distraction. Sorry about that. Any of you distracted like that? How many have looked at your Facebook page besides my wife since the service has started? I mean, okay, you don't have to confess. But you can live with God's presence now. And the third thing is kind of the same thing. You can experience God now. Now. It says in Acts 17, it talks about why, or that God created the world and everything in it. And that's pretty cool. Everything in it. Birds, flowers, trees, snow. Lord, why did you? My wife finished mowing the lawn yesterday. I was off doing pastoral work. Actually, that's true. But she finished mowing the lawn, got off the lawnmower, and it started to snow immediately. You know, isn't that weird? But you can experience God's presence right now, you know. God's presence is there. You don't have to wait. So it says in Acts 17, it says God created all these wonderful things, the world. And why did God do that? Verse 27, God did this so men and women, I think, would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. I love the last line, though he is not far from each one of us. God did this, so, you know, in other words, we ought to have some wow moments. I mean, I was at somebody's house on Thursday afternoon, and I pulled into their driveway. I have never seen so many daffodils in my entire life. It was absolute, there had to be thousands of them, just beautiful ones. And I was so excited when I saw them. I thought, wow, God, look what you made. And I went in and visited with a person. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool if I picked a whole bunch of those and brought them to church for Sunday morning and put them right in front? Wouldn't that be cool? And as I'm getting ready to leave, the person I was visiting, his daughter said, I have a little present for your wife. And she had went out to the yard and picked a whole bundle of these daffodils. And I brought them home. And I said, you know, it would be so cool if I could bring a bunch of those to church. Wouldn't that be great? Your daffodils in church. And he said, yes, I'd love that, he said. And I said, well, I'll send her over on Saturday night to pick daffodils. And they were snow-covered and slippery. Another year. But, wow. When was the last time you had a wow? That you actually said, wow, God, you made this tree for me. You made this mountain for me. You made this thing for me. If you haven't had it, maybe it's time. Because you can experience God now. I just want to ask you, are you feeling kind of distant? Maybe you're over-sensationalizing. Maybe you're just distracted. Maybe your heart's hardened. Maybe you've built a wall of sin. Maybe you have never believed in God in the first place. Maybe you're not believing in God now. Why is it that you don't? When he said, all you got to do is seek me. That's all you got to do. So simple. I sometimes wonder, why do I preach this stuff? This is so simple. Everybody knows that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everybody knows that. And the Holy Spirit says, you got to keep preaching it until they do it. And it's like, God, can I get on to the next message? And the Holy Spirit says, never. It's knowing it and doing it is not the same thing, is it?
It's up here. It's not here.
Yeah. That's right, it's here, it's not here. It's here, but it's not. If you seek God, you will find him. Why? What's missing? And if something's missing, maybe you've never known him, but you think there's more to life, and he's the answer, you know? Don't stop. If you have known him, and something feels empty, he's the answer. Don't stop. If you're in either of those spots, I want to pray for you this morning so that I can just ask God to show himself to you. And if you're in those spots, when we get to the closing hymn, I'm going to invite you to come and I'll just pray for you. Wanda will help too. She's a prayer maniac. Isn't that true? It's a good thing. Why don't we pray? Could we do that? Father, we just thank you that you love us. We sometimes ask, why don't I feel your presence? Why don't I? I need you now. God, help us to put our antenna up. Help us to set down our distractions. Help us to acknowledge that we have pushed you away by our very rebellious acts. Or maybe, God, our heart has become very, very hardened because we've been very disappointed about something that's very difficult that's going on in our life. And it makes us really wonder. You say in your word simply, if you seek me, you will find me. As simple as that. Father, we are seeking you. May we be open. May we be open to your presence. Right now, may you fill hearts that feel empty and alone. God, I know there is everything that we could ever need to find life, joy, peace, salvation. Everything is found in you. And I ask, God, that you would continue to call us to yourself, that we would receive all that you have. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.